Good morning and a very warm welcome to our worship this morning here in Newport Dundee Church of Scotland. Whether you're physically gathered together here in front of me or behind me or watching from somewhere else on Zoom or listening at home a day or two later, all are welcome. And this welcome is extended whether you've been joining with us one way or another over the past year or two or have recently come back to worship with us or are new to our church. A brief update on Amos is that he's doing well and is still aiming to be home by the middle of this week, all regulations permitting, of course. As those in the church building can see, Advent is certainly moving on apace, and our thanks are due to those who have donated their time, their talents, and other items to ensure this lovely display all around the building. The hymns this morning are a varied mix of familiar and new, and in religious terms, this period of Advent is a time for Advent hymns, not Christmas hymns, but I've bent it a little and there is a mix, so don't worry too much. A couple of extra intimations. Firstly, there is a publication on sale for Christmas aimed at younger people. And younger people is however old you feel. It's called Ur Wee Kirk Moos and has been devised by a member of the congregation, and funds are towards our Youth Seekers summer camp of next year. An ideal Christmas present. They don't all have the sample copy on the top, so don't worry. They're for sale down here. They'll be here for 2 or 3 weeks yet. Bargain price of £3.50, and I believe there is an offer on in buy one, get one full price. So, £3.50. And one or two details are in the Church Journal, which is out now for the winter edition. If you don't get a copy, either see Claire or please do pick up one before you go. Our call to worship this morning. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warning and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We may not all be gathered in the same building, but at this time, when we need each other so much, we're invited to worship together from where we are, knowing that God can hear us all and can blend even distant voices into one song of worship. So let's have our first song of worship, hymn 291, When Out of Poverty is Born a Dream That Will Not Die.
Thank you.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Advent God, we journey with you to Bethlehem's stable and the newborn King. Ears attuned to the song of angels, eyes alert for Bethlehem's star. Forgive us if on our journey, if we are distracted by the tempting offers of this world. Keep our hearts aflame with the hope of Christmas and the promise of a Saviour. Father God, this Advent we come before your throne of grace. We come with our brokenness. We come with our fears, anxieties, and worries. Lord, we come simply as we are. Almighty God, we have been overwhelmed with everything that's happening in our current lives, especially this past year or two. We indeed have been shaken, frightened, and now we feel displaced with no grounding. We are hurting as we struggle to hold on to something, and yet find nothing to hold on to. Father God, forgive our ways. We are continually searching for your face. We ask you to come down. May we feel your power move amongst us this Advent. Make clear to us, Father, the meaning of Christ's coming. Come, comfort your children. May your presence be felt in this frightened world we live in. Hear these prayers, O Lord, and hear us as we pray together, as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, do I have some young helpers around? Hopefully I do. Come on forward, have a seat, and I'll let you know what I've got in mind. Okay, I mean, we've got 2, 4, 6 of you. Yeah. Right, I'm going to have a bit of a game first before we start. Now, who likes a challenge? Who really likes a challenge? And who doesn't like a challenge? Right, okay, well, let's make it simple. Let's keep you three in one team and you three in the other team. So, what will we do? Right, could you come over beside Rachel here? Can you three boys come over to this side just so it's easier? Okay. I'll explain what's going to happen in just a wee minute. Right, now, if the younger ones look way out the way to the sides of the church, way out to there, way out to there, you'll maybe see some bags right out in the far side, yes, and at this side. Well, in a minute, I'm going to ask, starting with the youngest one, to run over carefully, grab the first bag, the smallest bag, and bring it back. Okay, and then go and get another bag and bring it back. And then the next one will take those two bags, run and get another one and come back, take all of them, get another one and come back. So you're building up all the time. Then the last two to go out and get what's left, which will be a couple of boxes. Okay, you all right with that? You okay? Rachel, are you happy or do you want to go on the outside if you like a challenge? Challenge is trying to carry everything at the one time. So be careful, one at a time. So, first wee ones up on your feet. Right, so you know where you're going? You see the bag with the red one in it? And you're going out just beside you. Right, off you go. Go on, quickly. Off you go. Quick as you can. And don't worry about the people. Get the one on the left. Get the wee one. That's it. Back you come. Get the wee one, the first one you come to. Back you come. Right, back and get the next one. Okay? Back you come. Right, okay, back and get the next one, the one that was beside that one, okay? Get the next one, come on in. Yeah, next bag that was beside that one. That's it, bring that one as well. On you come, come on. Right, are you going next? Right, you go and get another one. Right, pass them on. Okay, you take them, you get the next bag. And back you come, back you come. Okay, that's fine. Just grab it and back you come, whatever's in it. Go on, another one. And back you go. Yes, back we go. Go on, you go. Go, give her some encouragement. Right, pass them on. On you go. Right. On we go. No. Take the bags as well. Oh, yeah. That's part of the message. You've got to have the bags. Right. Sebastian, we can get one of the boxes. Just get one of the boxes. One of the boxes. There you go. And, yeah, go on. Grab one the other bag. That'll do fine. That'll do fine. Back you come. Then just pop them up on there. Put them up on there. That's a lad. Okay. Just put them all up there. That's fine. Thank you. Right. Okay. Now, I was partly planning for having a lot more of you this week again, but not to worry. So, right. That's taken a wee bit of steam out of you, so the Sunday Club leaders will hopefully have an easier time with you. Right. What were you thinking about when you were doing that run? Are you thinking about doing your best? You think how to try to be quickest? Are you thinking about, goodness, what's in these parcels? Or what on earth am I carrying this for? That sort of thing, yes? Yes. Well, there's the problem. Because just now, all the grown-ups are going out. They're running around the shops. Loads of bags, boxes get delivered. Even boxes from the shops. They're not thinking about what's on this table. And at the end of the day, they're probably going to forget what's on the table because their minds are so busy set on buying presents and gifts and getting food and getting ready for Christmas, they forget what the real story is about, which is in there. And it can be like us looking from here, seeing the back of the stable, but not seeing what's inside. Okay? Now, next time, I'm not going to lift it out because all the bits will fall over. We don't want Mary and Joseph getting a bump in the head at this time of year. So next time when you're in the church, have a look from that side. Have a look at all that's in the stable there and think, yes, that's why we have Christmas. Not all the shopping. Shopping's good and presents are fine. But remember really why we're here. And remember, we've still got a couple of weeks to go. 3 weeks to go, in fact. It's still a wee bit away. Okay, now, something we also do is at this time of year is to light our Advent candles. Now, who has not lit a candle in here before? 1, 2, 3. Right. Can you make sure you do it next week? Okay? If you two come up, I'll show you what to do. Right. You're going to take this, one of you. Who's going to be first? Right. Take it that way and hold it that way up. And all you do is you pull it like that. The light comes out, and you're going to light that one, okay? Just pull it back. Pull, 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 pull. You're not a dear Weetabix, according to the advert. Go on, give it a pull. Hang on. Right, I don't want to squash your finger. Right, go on. You got it? You've got it. You've got it. That's a lot. And let go, and there we go. Now, that shows that we're now 2 weeks into what we call Advent. So Christmas is getting closer. Got one next week, we've got one the week after, and then on Christmas Day, we're going to light the big white one. Now, don't tell everybody. You can light that one, okay? See if you can pull the trigger. Pull hard. Pull. Come on, pull loose. God. It's stiff, isn't it? Right, there we go. Right, just come up and point down. Have you got hold of the trigger? Yes? You have indeed. And there we go. Bill, just let go and this flame will go out. Well done, boys. Thank you. Okay, let's have a quick wee seat down there. Well done. So Christmas is coming along with everything else. And remember why we're having Christmas. Okay, next hymn is one which usually we have the young people singing in church and the grown-ups don't get a chance to sing it. So I thought, let's get a chance to sing it. The next hymn is Away in a Manger.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, reading from verses 10 to 14. Isaiah 7, 10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." The second reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessings to these readings from his holy word.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been a while since I inflicted a new hymn on you. Time's now come. These words we're about to sing repeat the message that Kevin has just read to us. Those of you who have looked at the order service could well be wondering what the tune will be. It's a Latin title of Tempus Adest Floridum, which literally translates as, and be careful how I say it, "The blooming time is here." It's written about in the 1500s for the flower carol, and it was used in spring to celebrate the plants and flowers coming through the ground and coming new. But we know it nowadays used to a much more recognisable set of words. But our set of words today is "Joseph heard the troubling news."
Thank you.
The beauty of not wearing a mask is I can now you wear my glasses and I can see everybody. It's great. Welcome. Perhaps you're disappointed that I'm not taking the beautiful Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke as a sermon text today, but instead the very different one from Matthew. There's nothing about the arduous journey to Bethlehem, the stable and the manger, or ox and ass, which, however, don't occur in Luke, as we all know anyway. Even more so, the shepherds in the field and the radiant message of the angels are missing. Instead, we have a story that seems to be not even about Jesus, but about Joseph. A strangely brittle narrative, and also it's now nearly Christmas 2021. Joseph's scruples and their wonderful resolution are a completely different world. Nobody is really interested in them much anymore. Peace on earth, a pleasure for people. This is what people want to hear today. So let's have a look at Christmas together from an unusual angle. Notice the extreme brevity of Matthew's account. The whole birth narrative takes up just 2 bracketing verses. Actually, really just 1.5. Chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And then at verse 25, Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That's it. 2 verses bookending the larger story and drama of the turmoil this birth created. But while I miss the fuller description that Luke gives, with the manger, shepherds, angels, and all the rest, there's something fitting about Matthew's sparse depiction. Because, truth be told, most people did miss it. From all we can tell from Matthew's story, just about no one noticed. It was just a birth, like billions of others, unremarkable in every way, or just about. Which is, of course, the point. Jesus came as one of us. Jesus was born like we are, lived like we live, loved, laughed, and suffered as we do, and died as we will all die in due course. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Matthew's Gospel records 3 angelic encounters Joseph had in dreams. And I'll tell you the other 2 in a wee minute while you think of them. We find the first one in today's reading. Mary is engaged to Joseph, but before they live together, she's found to be with child. Joseph is a righteous man. Thus, he decided to dismiss Mary because it would be foolishness to wed a woman who was unfaithful. But to do it quietly, no need to try and intentionally inflict pain on her and her family. However, once he resolved to do it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. At the risk of stating the obvious, but for the sake of clarity, this angelic appearance wasn't a figment of Joseph's imagination, nor was it some made-up fantasy. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. That it was in a dream is simply the mode that God used to send this messenger. The angel begins the message with the important and oft-repeated line, "Do not be afraid," i.e., there is no need to be afraid of this angelic appearance because God had sent them in love. Nor is there a need to be afraid of the angel's message because it comes from, with, and in the love of God. We are familiar with the message telling Joseph to take Mary as his wife, for the child was conceived not of unfaithfulness, but precisely the opposite. By the Holy Spirit, because of her faith in God. The angel concludes with the verses from the prophet Isaiah, showing this event to be the fulfillment of God's word. As amazing as all that was, we often overlook the dramatic conclusion to the whole story. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord had commanded him. Joseph didn't just see the angel and hear the message, he acted on it, just as he would in the 2 subsequent instances the angel appeared to him. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, when he was instructed to leave in the middle of the night with Mary and Jesus for Egypt to escape Herod's murderous rampage, killing Bethlehem's male infants. And then later, in verses 19 to 21, when Joseph was told to return to the land of Israel after Herod's death. In each case, Joseph didn't just see the heavenly messenger and hear the particular message. He acted on it. Perhaps because we've heard the story so often, we simply assume, of course he did what the angel said, and forget that he did have the option and probably a whole lot of reasons to do otherwise. But he didn't. The key as to why Joseph acted as he did is found in the description of Joseph as a righteous man. When we hear Joseph described as a righteous man, we usually think in terms of him doing the right things for the right reasons, and that's it. As if this righteousness was something that Joseph managed to acquire all on his own. But it wasn't. Righteousness was a gift from God that he received and then put into use. Righteousness is the love and mercy of God that Joseph received and then returned that love to God and that mercy to those round about him. Notice the turmoil and think for a moment about the upset and the stress that must have consumed both Joseph and Mary upon learning that she was pregnant. And a word about first century Jewish marriage may explain a little of what I mean. Various Bible editions tell this passage slightly differently. The New Revised Standard Version describes them as engaged, New International describes them as pledged, and King James Version says Joseph was espoused to Mary. But no matter how you render it, it's important to note that the bond between Mary and Joseph at this time was contractual, not merely social. The wedding itself was the time when the bride and the groom were accompanied by friends and feasting to celebrate the occasion of actually joining their households together. To all intents and purposes then, Mary and Joseph were married, but had not yet moved in with each other or consummated their union. Hence, the turmoil created by discovering that Mary was pregnant, it could, as far as Joseph was concerned, mean only one thing, that his espoused wife had been unfaithful. And with Matthew describing Joseph as a righteous man, there was a problem. But so, wanting out of what he believes is an unfaithful union, Joseph has two options, public stoning or divorce. He opts for the latter course, not wishing, as Matthew describes, to expose her to public disgrace and presumably punishment. And I'd invite us just to tarry at this point of the story and imagine that great distress that fell upon Joseph and Mary if he made his intentions known to her. And we're not used to this. We're accustomed to thinking about the beauty and wonder of the birth of Jesus. And that's appropriate. But let's not forget the distress, the sense of betrayal, disappointment, and a host of other emotions that Joseph must have experienced, or the fear and hurt that Mary would have also felt as they sorted out their divinely complex relationship. But why might that be helpful? Because Mary and Joseph aren't merely characters from a stained glass window or a storybook, but they're flesh and blood people. And the more we can imagine them as people like us, with ups and downs in the relationships, for instance, the more we might imagine ourselves to be people like them. That is, people who go through all kinds of things, some quite damaging, and yet whom God uses nevertheless to accomplish God's purposes. So that first impression that Matthew made Joseph the main character is deceptive. He described Joseph's concerns and their resolution in such detail, only for the purpose of drawing as much attention as possible to the special birth of Jesus. He says that Mary didn't conceive her child naturally from Joseph, but through direct intervention from God's Holy Spirit. So she remained a virgin. And to this day, we often repeat on a Sunday in the Apostles' Creed, born of the Virgin Mary. We can understand why Matthew and the ancient Christians attached so much importance to the virgin birth of Jesus. It was not the biological nature of it that was important to them. This is a more modern conception. What they really wanted to say was something else. If we want to understand Jesus correctly, it's not what people have done for him that matters, but that God sent him. All that we admire about him, his courage, his empathy, his wisdom, must be understood as God's work in him and through him. We celebrate Christmas because with Jesus, God came into our world and still does today. Matthew wants to make this clear point by indicating that Jesus was a descendant of David. He explained that broadly in the section at the beginning of his first chapter with a family tree going right back to Abraham. In the great time of David's reign, God showed that he cares for his people. A little later, the long, desolate period of suffering of foreign rule began. But Jesus' birth shows that God is fulfilling his promise that he will not abandon his people. And then there's a second title for Jesus, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that's meant to express that Jesus' ministry not only radiates geographically to the whole world, but it also extends to all the future. That's why at the very end of his gospel, Matthew returns to where the risen Christ says to his disciples, "I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus Christ is not merely a great figure of the past, but through the Spirit of God, he is now in our midst, and he will not leave us. Once again, this Christmas will be so very different from what we're used to. We can perhaps compare ourselves a little with the biblical people of Israel and their seemingly endless tests of patience. For us, the reason is not political oppression, but the currently rampant COVID pandemic with its many variants. We don't suffer from the pressure of an occupying power, but from the pressure of personal isolation, the forced renunciation of so many human contacts. Those of us who have to live alone feel like they're in solitary confinement. For many of us, it also means that we will have to do without the usual large and atmospheric family celebrations. And all this is taking much longer than previously assumed. The virus will not miraculously disappear, as populist politicians still want us to believe. But as for peace in the world, God also makes us responsible for the defeat of this plague, through the known precautions and then through participation in the ongoing vaccination program. All this seems to be in contradiction to Christmas, but it doesn't have to be that way. The annoying restrictions direct our gaze away from all the accessories with which we usually decorate the festival. But then, in doing so, they give us more opportunity than usual to concentrate on the meaning of the festival. Christ has come. He is with us. And thus, God is also with us and wins our hearts for himself. This is the real reason for all Christmas joy. It does not yet bring our families and friends together, whom we'd love to take in our arms again, but it gives us inner peace and patience until that is possible again. It also gives us the strength for the self-discipline we need to protect through masks, distancing, sanitizing, and so on, the many unknown people we encounter in this time on the streets and while shopping. As global as the event of Christmas is, its effect on the vast majority of people in personal life is sadly not very spectacular. But it is such small gestures of consideration with which the love of God wants to propagate through us. God's presence begins in small and inconspicuous ways, as it did with the birth of that little child in a remote part of the world. But it is appointing more and more hearts to its service worldwide. In summary, we have this extraordinary story and promise that God comes through ordinary mixed up people in order to save ordinary mixed up people. And that God comes through a birth like all the billions of other births in the world to promise us freedom from sin, fear, and death, and rebirth as the children of God. Yes, it's an odd story, but one that deserves telling. And thank you for your part in doing that. Amen. Let us pray. This Advent time, we remember Mary and Joseph, giving thanks for their faithfulness, courage, and obedience, stepping out into the unknown in the strength of your Spirit, playing their part in the fulfillment of your plan to bring your prodigal people home again. We pray that their example might be the pattern of our lives, that when your gentle whisper breaks through the clamour of this world and into our small corner, we might be ready to listen, and having listened, to act. Amen. The next hymn looks ahead 3 weeks or so, but gives an important message to all of us, nevertheless. Hymn 294, On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing. Let us come together with our prayer to dedicate our offering and our prayer of intercession for others. Let us pray. This is the day that God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will not bring to God offerings that cost us nothing. So, loving God, on this day of your providing, we give our offerings. On this day of our rejoicing, we ask you to bless what we bring. On this day of our giving, we pray that we will continue to be generous in spirit, willingness, and service, and all to your glory. Living God, you call us in readiness for the coming of Jesus to look to ourselves that we might be properly prepared for Christ in our lives. But we cannot and should not live in isolation from others. Separate from their needs and concerns, their hurts and anxieties. We pray for our church, for this congregation here, for all who minister to one another in the community of the faithful, in the compassion of our caring, and in the mission of the gospel, individually and together. We pray especially at this time for our minister, Amos, as he prepares to return to us from his family in Cameroon, that you grant him a safe passage. Of course, we think of his close family here in Newport, having missed him for these weeks, and ask that you sustain them until he arrives back at the manse. We pray for our community, our country, and our world. Bless with compassion and tenderness those who we know work tirelessly for the good of others. Bless with wisdom and character those who have responsibilities in Holyrood and Westminster. Bless with purpose those who are leaders, teachers, and role models for us all. We pray for those in need, those close to us, those who struggle for direction, those who are no longer able to stand tall with purpose and commitment, those who are weak and frail, those who are worn down by worries and troubles, those coming to terms with the loss of a loved one, and those for whom this is a time of memories of loved ones no longer with us. In the silence, we name them before you. We name them, those you already know, and we leave unnamed those who you also know. For we recognize that everyone is an individual under your loving gaze. We pray for those still suffering as a result of Storm Arwen, especially those thousands still without power and often telephones. Help them to know that they're not forgotten, and people are working hard to end their suffering and inconvenience. We ask you to be close to us in this time of waiting and COVID uncertainty. Help us to look outside ourselves and draw strength from you to support others. We pray for protection for people around the world, especially those living in poverty, from coronavirus and from this new strain, Omicron. As countries tighten restrictions to help slow the spread, we pray for the provision of food, shelter, and health care for people who do not have a safety net to fall back on. We pray for ourselves this Advent time as we prepare in thoughtfulness for the coming of Jesus, that we might be honest with ourselves and open to your grace and all to the greater good. May the peace of Christ bless us. May the love of Christ work through us. May the light of Christ shine in our darkest places. Amen. One announcement I omitted to give at the beginning was a plug for next Sunday. In addition to the morning service here at 11 o'clock, we will be having our lessons and carol service at 2:30 in the afternoon. Still in daylight, it'll finish in daylight, all being well, and you can all get home safely. Please bring others along. There'll be a number of readings, some more modern, some that you will recognise. The carols, I'm sure, are all going to be very singable, so please do come along and help celebrate and celebrate the joy of Christmas next Sunday afternoon. Meantime, to finish a service which seems to be around angels, our final hymn, number 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Thank you. God is working. Let us be ready for God's love. Christ is coming. Let us be ready for his peace. The Spirit is with us. Let us be ready for his transformation. And may the blessing of God the Worker, Christ the Redeemer, and the Spirit the Sanctifier rest upon us and all those who we love today, through this Advent time, and every day beyond.